trying to do this right here. There we go. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you one and all, in the precious name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How do we recapture this rainbow? That's a sermon title, and you know, sometimes a sermon title doesn't mean nearly as much as other sermon titles. Maybe you've experienced that if you've ever taught a class or a Bible study of some sort or given a little talk somewhere or a big talk somewhere. Sometimes you come up with a title. Sometimes the title has nothing to do with what you actually end up saying. But I'm afraid that might be the case here. Here's why. In the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 8, God has been drying out the earth after a great flood, a tremendous flood. Many, many people who study history and geology and the idea of the creation of the world and the flood say that the flood was a great cataclysm in which you could explain many otherwise inexplicable things, such as a lot of the fossil records, such as apparent sudden many layers of rock being laid down, of mountains being twisted into shape, that the flood would explain some sort of a great, tremendous cataclysm, and that, for that matter, a change of a situation such as that would even inspire something like an ice age that could lead to ice caps and all sorts of oddities that we've found and can't explain very well otherwise. However, God did it. God has brought a great destruction on the world because of people's sin. And now he looks to these seven people, found in seven, Mr. and Mrs. Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and apparently Shem and Ham had wives, but Japheth apparently did not. Seven people, count them. And God says to Noah and his sons, I'm establishing my covenant with you and with your offspring after you, and it doesn't apply just to you, but it applies to all the animals that are around, that I am not going to destroy the world by a flood. Well, I'm putting this sign in the sky, a rainbow, which is going to be my sign to show you that I am not going to destroy everything by flood again. Now, actually, once again, that's not a sign to you. He says, this is a sign to me. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. You know what God means when he establishes a covenant? In fact, I should ask, what is a covenant after all? A covenant is a promise. And it's usually considered a very serious and holy promise. It's not the kind of promise that says, when I play checkers with you, I promise you I'm going to beat you. Okay? That's not really a covenant. That's not a covenant. It might be, when I play chess with you, I'm going to try my hardest, but I'll probably lose anyway. That's a little more like a covenant. What about when people stand here and they say, I promise to love, honor, cherish you as long as we both shall live. That's more like a covenant there, isn't it? What about, a lot of things happen right there, don't they, in church, right there. What about when you ask, it's such a funny question to ask a baby. Do you forsake the devil and all his works and ways? And the baby's not talking yet. And you look at the parents and the sponsors, and their answer is, yes. Do you promise to follow Jesus all the days of your life? And the answer is, yes. And the same questions happen again, usually when people are confirmed. You know, confirmation itself doesn't hurt very much, kids. Okay? Any unconfirmed kids in here? Have you seen anybody be confirmed? They ask you all sorts of really difficult and scary questions. My favorite one, I had to ask it twice once. I can tell this story because it's on my daughter. No, it's really a story told on me. I asked my daughter, I was confirming my daughter, are you going to follow Jesus no matter what, even to death? And she said, yes, which is the right answer. I said, really? She said, yes. Okay, good. We got that out of the way. You know what? She has not followed him to death yet. Still alive. That's good. So, you know, we ask you all kinds of questions. Are you making a covenant to follow Jesus no matter what? Are you making a covenant to the person you are marrying no matter what? Are you making a covenant? I mean, we ask people this when people are joining the church, you know, is this going to be your church? You really mean it? And the answer is yes. That's more like a covenant. But what's happening here in Genesis chapter 9 is that God is making a covenant. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Some of you men, I'm going to pick on the men. You're manly men, and you understand Ephesians chapter 5 that says a husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church. And what did he do? Gave his life for her. Some of you are very manly men, and you would give your life for your wife. And I know you would. Because when you married that young woman, you thought you were bulletproof. You're not. But you would give your life for that woman. You know what? God makes a covenant with Noah and with you, saying, I will protect you. I will never destroy the world by flood again. I am making my covenant. And you know what happens if God breaks his covenant? He's not God. God will keep his covenant. And men unlike you who have discovered that you're not bulletproof, God is. He will never, never break his covenant with his people. You know, we talk about things like flood control. We talk about disaster coming upon us. I mean, I've driven around. I've looked at some of the cropland around here. Sometimes it'd be better this year for growing rice than anything else. That's just not good for those beans or corn. No, and we look at other things in our lives that are subject to flood control. A friend of mine works at a nuclear reactor, and he has the unfortunate habit of when he's having a rough day, and scaring me by making a comment that, yeah, I don't know, it seems like everything's blowing up at work. I don't like that in the context of a nuclear reactor, no. But God is not going to let things blow up. He is not going to. He is going to guard his people, no matter what seems to be going wrong. No matter how we find out that we're not really as bulletproof as we thought we were, no matter how much, gentlemen, no matter how much our wives find out we're not as bulletproof as we thought we were. They knew better all along. They really did. You know what? God has placed a rainbow in the sky. We can't recover the rainbow, can we? We can't recover it. We can look at it. We can see that it's there. We can kind of remember that God has placed His covenant on us, but we can't keep Him responsible to fulfill it, can we? We can't make God take care of us. Only He can. But you know what? When He puts His rainbow there, He says, when I see it, or when I bring the clouds and the rainbow is seen, I will remember my covenant. Okay, women, some of you women who are married, you know what it is when your husband remembers the anniversary or remembers your birthday, right? You know what that means? I got accused once of not remembering my wife's birthday. I did. I remembered her birthday. But you know what? I didn't say anything about it first thing in the morning. She thought, here, you're forgetting. How does God remember things, though? It's not just that He says, oh yeah, you know, I know what day it is. I know those are my people. No problem. No, how does God remember His covenant? He gives you those gifts. He gives you that protection. He gives you all of the riches of heaven in Christ Jesus, who came and who laid down His life for you and for me. God remembers His people. And to remember His people, He doesn't just think about them. He does something about them. And He has done all kinds of rich and wonderful things for us, His people. He is exactly the kind of Lord who sees His disciples struggling away in the boat, rowing. You know how fast you can row a boat? Not very fast. You know how hard it is to row a boat into the wind? Well, it's not very hard to row a boat into the wind, is it? But it's hard to keep moving against the wind because you're much more likely to be blown some other direction. And He sees us rowing and toiling and working, and it gets to be late at night and we're still not to our destination, and we're rowing and we're working and we're working. And He says, you know what? I remember my disciples. He comes to be with them. He comes to us walking in places where we would least expect to see Him. And He's not even angry with us when we mistake Him for a ghost, or when we mistake Him for somebody else. But you know, He reminds us, it is I am the one who managed to bring you to life. I am the one who has protected you. I'm the one who gave you that job that you're complaining about. I am the one who gave you that same thing to eat over and over again. I am the one who gave you that crazy uncle that bothers you. I am the one who gave you that blessed house with the windows that leak. I am the one who gives you the shelter you need. I am the one who clothes your body even when you let your body look ugly like mine. I am the one who comes to you because I know that I can remember you. I know that you are not able to do what you need to do. Jesus says, I am the one who come to you. I am the one who comes to you. Has God's promise failed in any way? No. His rainbow is still here for you. You can't reestablish it. You can't catch it again. But He's never let it go. His rainbow is here for you. He shines His light in every direction. He's the one who gives color to this world, filling our lives. Filling our lives with color and hope and promise and comfort. Because He is the one who says, yes, I will remember you as long as seed time and harvest continue. for all future generations, this is the sign of an everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth, and that is you, and that is me. And so knowing about that hope that we are given through Christ Jesus our Lord, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We continue in worship with the prayers of the